welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Welcome.
Greetings and welcome to Remnant Battle Lines Prophecy News Hour with the Watchman and Tower. Tonight on the show, prophecy, Christian news, and world events, friendship, evangelism, following Jesus, anti-Israel, Victoria's Secret, and more. Stay tuned for more on this later. It is Wednesday the 20th of June. And we are glad you joined us. I am Tower, and we are covering the end of days as they happen. This is Warn Radio. The readings in the Word this week are found in Numbers chapter 19, verse 1 through chapter 22, verse 1. Judges chapter 11, verses 1 through 33. And the New Testament portion is Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 38. You can go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or gethealthyyoungliving.com to listen to the latest shows and also read the articles by The Watchman. We have some new articles out there. Preparing for the deliberate deception of that wicked one. The lawlessness, mystery of iniquity, preparing the way for deliberate deception and denial of the wicked one. Today in America, we find a deliberate deception, along with those who have a denial of that very same deception. American vipers destroying the souls of men. From the tree so falleth the seed, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. James 3:6. And Bill Maher is hoping for an economic crash to oust Trump. So he says, bring on the reception. Ugh, dear God, help me. Bring on the recession. Provocative and passionate incognito. Unheard of. Provocative and passionate. Get the book that addresses the war of identity and deceit that is going on. Check out Incognito now. It is the latest in the books which have come forth. Certainly not a novice, and with a proven and reliable voice, the author Dana G. Smith takes you into incognito. It is a war of identity and one of deceit. This book reveals a ruthless, corrupt, and evil struggle to deceive you today. While this will certainly lead to the Armageddon's Holocaust, this looming peril can also find you prepared. Through the Glass Darkly, Hope and the Transformation. Seeing through the glass darkly, I shall see all things face to face. Hope in the transformation from mere human that faces sin, death, and the grave, then to have the ultimate victory over the same sin, death, and the grave through Jesus Christ. Yes, it is the victory. For us, the ultimate victory who have believed in Christ. And you can go to warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, or gethealthyyoungliving.com to read the latest articles by The Watchman and listen to all the shows. You can hear Warn Radio from your PC, Android, Apple device, and many other avenues, so check those out. You can follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/warnradio and on Twitter at #WatchmanIS216, #WarnRadio, or #WGS_Watchman. And now I welcome in the Watchman for Wednesday Battle Lines, the latest news articles and information concerning the days in which we live. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. How you doing?
Oh, I'm all right.
Well, again, we're in the middle of the week.
Yeah, sure.
And we're past the middle of the month.
Crazy.
You know, time goes by so fast. I mean, I say it all the time, and I'm just always amazed.
I know.
But you need to read some of these latest articles I've been putting up. Not just because I think you should, but you'll find them very biblically based, prophetic, and end of days, and especially in regard to America. America today is unclean.
That's right.
And you might sit there, you know, in your house and say, well, I don't believe it. We're no worse than a lot of them. Yeah, we are. And, you know, the fact of all of this stuff is going on, and we have a lot to cover tonight, and I could sit here and I could rant and rave about, you know, a certain Fonda and his big mouth, but him and his sister have proven that they are anti-American, they're anti, republic, and they are pro-communist, pro-socialist, liberal hacks. And the fact that Melania contacted the Secret Service regarding the threat from Fonda is the very thing they need to lock Fonda up, maybe send him to Vietnam again.
I agree. They shouldn't let him get away with saying those kind of wicked, crazy things. That's horrible.
But, you know, everybody, including Geraldo Rivera, is shooting off their mouth about all the kids being taken away. Where was Geraldo a number of years ago? Because this is not Trump's doing. This is the doing of Congress for refusing to deal with the immigration issue. And Obama locked them up in camps and even wrapped them up in aluminum foil, the foil blankets. So, you know, the left doesn't want to hear it. The left is hard of hearing. They do not want to listen. They do not want to find peace. The left's, push to divide America, it's already divided. And there is judgment in this country. And I've been warning of judgment for a long time. And during this, the great American eclipse, I told you that was a type and a warning of the division of America, and now we're seeing the division of America. And I wrote this telling you about how this very thing that we're doing in America is going to be leading to the Antichrist, the son of perdition. So if you fail to read it, it's your own fault because you've been warned. And I'm not going to spend all day here trying to warn you about America. We're going to be talking about Christians and people that are suffering around the world. And that's our focus right now. And, I'm a watchman, and I warn. And I'll tell you, the warnings I give are just as viable as the prophets of old. And you may not like that, but that's the way it is, because I seek the Lord God, and I can tell you truthfully that judgment's on this nation. You can do whatever you want to do. You can listen, you can ignore it, you can reject it, you can do whatever you want to do. But I'm going to tell you, one of these days, this nation will face the wrath of Almighty God for what it's done. And it's not just about immigration. It's not just about the two-faced lies that we see going on or the tongue that's a wagon. But you're going to find out, and you ain't going to like it. There ain't going to be anybody in this nation that's going to like it. I don't even like it. But I'm telling you, I have got to speak the truth. And this is the truth as far as I can tell you. And you're not going to know everything. You're not going to see it coming. So just read it and weep when you see it. And those who ignore the warnings, you will regret the day. You will regret the day that you did not listen.
Amen.
Okay, now, up front, we want to talk about Asa Bibi. And Tower and I, you know, it's been 9 years, Tower.
That I couldn't believe that when you told me that the other day.
In 2009, she was accused of blasphemy. And you and I remember the day you and I were talking about this this first happened. She was working. She worked in a berry field harvesting berries. And She needed some water because she's working out in the hot sun, and she went to the water basin, and her Muslim co-workers didn't like her drinking out of the same one, and she was considered to be unclean, so they turned around and continued to go after her. And a local cleric said that Bibi had blasphemed against Islam, saying, "My Christ died for me, what did Muhammad do for you?" And those words will echo into history, and they will echo into the next life, and they will echo before the throne of God as her testimony. Because she said, "My Christ died for me, what did Muhammad do for you?" Muhammad did not do nothing for you except get you a religion. Muhammad cannot save you. You can call it blasphemy till the day you die, till the day you kill everybody. But blasphemy, my friends, is you rejecting the true and the living God and the Christ, the Son of God, that died for your sins. You don't have to die and go to hell, but you choose because you refuse to listen. And today, as we sit here in this divided nation with a bunch of big mouth liberal hacks who are comfortable living in their sin and their big mouth, we have people around the world that are suffering for their faith. And they are suffering at the hands of Islamists, and we also find them suffering at the hands of many other religions around the world. And so this is the way it is. But 2009, Tower, you and I were talking about this and how them women, and the original story talked about how the women got mad at her, and she was, talked back to them and testified that "My Christ died for me, what did Muhammad do for you?" So the women went and said that she had blasphemed Muhammad.
Yeah.
And the cleric picked it up and spread it around, and then that got before the Pakistani government and officials. And in Pakistan, it is well known that blasphemy laws has been used time and again by Muslims to get rid of Christians.
Misused.
Misused, yes, yes.
Well, and in November of 2010, she was convicted and sentenced to death on blasphemy charges. And then months later, the governor of Punjab visited her in prison. And upon leaving the jail, he made a statement that the blasphemy laws had been misused in her case. Within days, he was murdered by his bodyguard, who had been convinced by radicals that this was an attack on Islam.
Well, you know, this is the one thing. You know, we've reported that there's been a lot of Muslims that have rejected Islam and they have accepted the Lord. And, the bottom line of it is that there's a lot of people who are feverishly living by the law of Islam, and they're going to wind up in hell because they reject the grace and the mercy of God.
How tragic.
They believe God is a God of hate. They believe their God is telling them they have to kill the unbeliever and slaughter those who threaten their religion, when our God is telling us that we have to love, those who hate us, pray for those who despitefully use us. And Christians are not of the same vein. They're not of the same spirit. And Christians, today around the world are facing tremendous persecution, but we're also seeing tremendous move of God throughout this. And see, here's another one, and that is in Mauritania. And this follows the long line as what's happened to Asa Bibi, Tower. They have passed into law amendments to the criminal code that would make it mandatory death penalty for anyone convicted of blasphemous speech or sacrilegious acts.
Oh my goodness.
And of course, they can use this in a lot of ways, just like they do in Pakistan. And the Mauritanian government last year carried out an execution for blasphemy in 1987. A Muslim blogger tried in, they last carried it out in 1987, but a Muslim blogger tried in 2014 was the most recent person to be convicted, but he was downgraded to 2 years in prison.
Huh.
But that Mauritania is almost entirely Muslim, and there's a small amount of Christians that live in Mauritania. Mauritania being in East Africa, West Africa, you know.
Yeah.
It reaches to the coast and inwards into the Sierra, the Sahara. You know, I think, you know, how dangerous it is in this world today, Tower.
Oh, it is scary. I'm telling you. And then when you have people like Fonda spewing wicked, vile, hateful, demonic things as he was today, you can see it in this country. You know, they've gone off the deep end. They're crazy.
Well, see, his tweet that he sent out had hundreds of retweets, and he had Jane Fonda agree with her brother. There was another actor that backed him up. And
that's despicable.
I forgot his name. It's a popular actor.
John Cusack.
Yeah. And I'm telling you today, Peter Fonda has a new movie coming out, and he's not top dog, but you need to boycott anything.
Yes.
That's connected with the Fondas, and I mean Jane Fonda, Peter Fonda, and Cusack, because we should not be rewarding these morons with our business.
That's right.
And you need to also pay attention, Christian in America, that you need to stand up for not only the persecuted Christians, but you need to stand up against this baloney. And I don't mean getting as vile as they are. You're to be above it. You are to walk as Christ walked. We are not to be as hateful and spiteful and dirty, rotten, nasty as they are. We are of a different spirit.
That's right.
But we can declare, thus saith the Lord, when we see evil and wickedness. And there is evil and wickedness afloat. And this article that I wrote, you need to get over to danaglennsmith.com or warren-usa.com and read the three latest ones that I've got, and it will fill you in on what kind of a sin this was. This will lead you right into what happened in the days of the prophets and what they were warning against, and you're going to find that your tongue that you wag is the thing that brings evil upon men and judgment upon yourself. It will defile the whole body. James even talks of that. Behold, the tongue is a small member, you know. Behold how great a fire such a small member kindleth, you know, and that's the way it is. And you know, while we're looking at that, we do have another one that Tower has been reading. This is from some friends of ours at Bibles for the Mideast. The update on Asa Bibi was by International Christian Concern. That's at persecution.com. Let's see, the Mauritania one. Let me see if I can find out where that was from. That was from globalchristiannews.org. And so we have quite a number of people that we tell you about and stuff like this, and we want to be sure that you know that some of these, like Bibles for the Mideast, is working as an underground ministry in the Middle East and several countries, working in 17 nations with an estimated population of 411 million. Most of those are Muslim, and Christians are living there, and they distribute Bibles free of charge, establish house churches, and within this we see a move of God throughout the Middle East and other places where Christians are doing it, are working for the Lord.
Yeah, that's exciting.
It is. It is exciting. So, now, in this particular church, it's an underground church. It's called the Assembly of Loving God Church in the Middle East. And when you get into India and many of the Christians in the Middle East or the Far East, many of them, when they talk about a ministry or a church, they really personalize the church. And here it's the assembly of loving God.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So did you want to do
this?
Okay, go ahead.
Born into a large Muslim Arab family in the Middle East, Aslam Sukor firmly believed the only way to live properly and make your way to heaven was to follow the strict rules of radical Islam. He devoutly practiced his faith and followed its teachings. He never allowed non-Muslims even to visit his house. He also made a good living owning date plantations and fuel stations. He and his wife had 3 boys and 3 girls, all well-behaved, intelligent children. When the oldest son reached 15, a mysterious illness struck. It began with fever and body pain, then progressed to severe weakness in his legs until he became completely bedridden. Aslam took him to several super specialist hospitals, but doctors could not diagnose the cause of his ailments. Every treatment they tried failed, and within 2 months the young man died. When the second son reached 15, the same disorder began to plague him. The imam of the local mosque told the family it must be because of an ancestral curse, so they invited a number of famous Muslim priests to pray for the children and all in the household, but nothing improved. Someone suggested to Aslam that their house surely had strong demons living in it, drinking the children's blood one by one, so they decided to move to an area far away. And Bibles for Mideast gospel team was sharing with locals working in that region. On hearing of the tragedy of Aslam's family, they decided to go visit him. "We are Christians," they boldly announced at his gate. "Our Lord Jesus Christ is the living Savior. He was crucified, died, and rose from the dead. He is able to heal the sick and cast out all demons. If you allow it, may we see your sick son and pray for him and for the rest of your family." Aslam would have none of it. "You coffers," he shouted, a derogatory expression of anyone not believing in Islam. "How dare you come to my house? We don't need your prayers. Allah is merciful. We know he hears our prayers. Get away from my house before I call the police." The missionaries attempted to leave a sample gospel with him. Yelling again, he grabbed it from them before tearing it to pieces and throwing it in a nearby wastebasket. Aslam and his wife decided to take their second son, now in debilitating pain, to another country for, they hoped, better treatment. Unfortunately, he died too. Soon afterwards, they boarded a plane for the flight home, bringing their son's lifeless body back for burial. Another Arab couple, who just happened to be members of an ALG, Assembly of Loving God Church, sat across from them. They could easily see how distressed Aslam and his wife were. She weeping unconsolably, and he trying his best to comfort her in the name of Allah. They obviously and palpably worried about their other children as well. The Christian Arab couple gently questioned them and learned they were traveling home with the body of their second dead son. They sympathized and consoled in such a kindly way that the Muslim couple soon considered them trustworthy friends. Aslam shared all that they had gone through, had gone and were going through. The Christian woman related to them her own family's unfortunate experiences and how the Lord Jesus Christ, through the prayers of Christian missionaries, had saved them. "If you believe in Jesus and pray in faith, he will certainly help you to overcome the problems." "Our own lives are witnesses to that," she assured them. She and her husband then shared the message of the gospel. Aslam and his wife grew increasingly irritated. Islam is the most holy and true religion in the world, Aslam let them know with certainty. Prophet Muhammad is the true messenger of Allah. Prophet Jesus is only a human being and lower than the Prophet Muhammad. Whatever Allah wills, he does. Though we are sad about our children, we know it is Allah's will. We obey him and his truth. So our advice to you is not to become kafir. In spite of the tension, the four remained friendly for the rest of the flight. The Christian couple helped the bereaved parents at the airport, and he even accompanied them as they took their son's corpse back to their house. The relationship continued to blossom as the weeks went on. Discussions often centered on religion. The church couple naturally kept up their attempts to convince their new friends of their need for salvation. It wasn't many months before the Muslim couple's third son came down with the dreaded illness. The Arab Christians decided to visit them, accompanied by the same Bibles for Mideast missionaries Aslam had thrown out a few years earlier. Aslam recognized them but said nothing about it. He simply invited them within the gates of his property and offered them seats in the yard. The Christian woman they'd met on the plane went inside the house, where Islam's wife introduced her to the sick son and the couple's other children. The woman again tried to explain the all-importance of prayer in Jesus' name. Aslam's wife then called her husband inside. She asked him to invite the missionaries in as well and allow them to pray for the boy. He agreed. Once inside and before praying, the Bibles for Mideast workers related their own dramatic stories of moving from Islam to Christianity. All listened intently and continued to as the missionaries went on to share the gospel. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, they suddenly heard from the sick boy's room. I believe he will heal me and deliver me and others of my house from this strange trouble. Please pray for me. So, of course, the missionaries did, and as they laid their hands on his head and prayed, the young fellow explained how he felt a man's hand gently touch his whole body. He also sensed a horrible smell leave his body, and then a beautiful aroma totally enveloped him. Finally, he caught a glimpse of the hands and saw what looked like scars in them. Immediately, all the pain vanished. He shook his legs and found them stronger. When he tried to put them on the floor, he found to his delight they worked. He began walking and running around as everyone else watched in amazement. Only moments later, all believed in Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. That's amazing.
It is.
Oh, thank God for what the Lord does in these lives.
Well, you know, whenever you get in America or anywhere in the West, and you begin to feel like the wickedness and the junk we live with from day to day begins to overcome. It's good that the Lord can remind us that he is moving around the world.
Amen, amen.
And we have, I don't know for how long, been reading these stories. And we have seen miracles come forth from a lot of places.
Yes, we have.
And so it's important to know that in spite of what's happening in America and many other places in the world, there is a move of God, and people are coming to the Lord. And while we find a lot of Muslims that are going around killing and slaughtering, there are Muslims today that truly want to know the truth, and they're coming to the Lord and becoming Christians. And they are leading the fight in the Middle East for Christ. And it comes through love, faith, and miracles and signs and wonders. So you can thank God.
Oh, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Now, we were talking about Mauritania.
Uh-huh.
And first we started with Asa Bibi and the result of the blasphemy law. And the governor, who even recognized and said that that was misused, he was murdered. Well, since he was murdered, they never did anything to change it in Pakistan. And then in Mauritania, we covered how they decided to change the law to where a blasphemy law would bring death immediately. Now we're in Malaysia. And this comes from MorningstarNews.org. And the Malaysia court refused to hear an appeal by four Christians wanting to officially convert out of Islam. Christian leaders continued hope. Now, this is really kind of strange because they're already Christians. They've become Christians, but they're Islam. But in this country, it says here, in a country where there is no legal way to leave Islam. Now, see, there's no legal way. And the four people were asking the federal court to have their names and their faith changed on their national identity cards. On Tuesday, the court held, that's February 27th, this is a few months old, held that the four people were Muslims and hence fell under the jurisdiction of the Sharia court system and that it must adjudicate the matters of Islamic law. Now, I haven't heard anything since then. The five-member panel of the federal court unanimously ruled that civil courts had no jurisdiction to decide on apostasy cases. Now, see, there's a couple things that come to mind. Number one, no matter where I'm at, I chose to become a Christian. I don't need you to say that it's okay.
Right.
Period. And even on pain of death. But they were trying to clear this up legally in this country of Malaysia. And it would be good. Now, the Court of Appeal president wrote that although no legal provision for deciding apostasy cases existed in the law, there were clauses that in it that Sharia courts could apply. Christian leaders, meantime, held out hope in this that Christians should not give up. And they pray that the lawmakers will table a just law to face this issue. In other words, they want a law to say that if you become a Christian from being a Muslim, that you can get rid of your Muslim name. Well, the problem you have in some of these Muslim countries is that apostasy in Islam means death. And apostasy means you can't go to another religion. Now, this is how Muhammad did it. This is how they did it from the beginning. And how Islam spread was through war and conquest. And when people got, you know, conquered, they could face death or they could convert to Islam, which many of them did in mass. And then once you're converted, you can't unconvert because that means death. So this is how they keep people in. You know, so this is a real problem in the end of days.
It sure is.
And now three of the four of these particular people were raised as Christians but converted to Islam in order to marry Muslims. And I don't know how all this works over there. And, you know, they're Muslims on papers. They want to go back to being Christian. I mean, you know, this is really more. And you do see this around the world in many areas, is that if you're born into a family or a tribe that's Christian, then you're Christian. And it you know, you're taught Christianity, you do this. And now, you see, becoming a Christian, you cannot, it's not a matter of genes and chromosome. It's a matter of being born again through the Spirit. And that's where the real issue lies of being born again. And so we do see this where, you know, you can have traditional Christianity in the area, and many of them have a traditional church and traditional Christianity, but they don't necessarily have ever understood the fact of being born again through the Spirit. And so there are some issues within this thing, but the fact of it is in Malaysia, and of course you get close in Malaysia, Indonesia, and a lot of other places that are Muslim, you know, you find these kind of legal problems all over the place.
Yep.
And of course, you know, the thing of it is that, I mean, we were in Mauritania today, and we were talking about Islam in Pakistan and in Malaysia, and now we're going to be in Eritrea, which we have talked about Eritrea mm-hmm. before. And International Christian Concern it released a story of a pastor that had been released after more than a decade of imprisonment.
Wow.
According to Voice of the Martyrs out of Australia, this pastor was the first senior pastor in Eritrea to be arrested and held after they had a crackdown on religion in 2002. He was only in jail for a short period after that, but then he was harassed over the next 4 years, and then in 2007 he was arrested again and jailed for more than 10 years, though no charges were filed against him.
That's just wrong.
Now, see, this is what we see. Pastor Brunson, he's yeah. being held. They've never made a final decision on him. Asa Bibi, they had a final decision, but then they didn't do anything with it, and the governor said that they had misused the law, so she's still in jail. And now you have this pastor that had stayed in there all this time without ever being charged. Now, see, that's in America. We are guaranteed due process of law. We are guaranteed to know who it is, you know, what the charges are. We're guaranteed to have this due process go through the courts. We're guaranteed that... you know, we're not just going to be thrown in a cell for 20 years or 10 years, and then they decide to try us. We're guaranteed speedy trials. That's in our law and our Constitution. That's the difference between America and the rest of the world.
That's right.
And, you know, so when I read this, you know, Tower, it's just hard to think, you know, all that time in jail.
Oh, I know.
And you were never... even charged. You know, what are you in for? Nothing.
Yeah.
You know, they don't like me, you know. And in 2017 here in Eritrea, more than 200 Christians were arrested and never charged with any criminal activity. And in Eritrea, there's only 4 legalized religions. In the country is Eritrean Orthodox, Catholic, Lutheran, and Sunni Islam.
Hmm.
So if you have something in between all that, you're in trouble. And you know, a religion is just really one of those issues. You know, like my dad said, we were raised, and in our day and age, there's two things you didn't talk about: politics and religion in public.
Yep.
You know, you never did it. And so Eritrea, it is, you know, there's this, the report goes on to say that the Eritrean government is willing to go to great lengths to arrest and eradicate Christians. And another underground pastor in Eritrea said, "There are false brothers among us who gather information. He comes to you believing in the name of Jesus. You baptize him, but he is a spy. And these spies are sent by the government. And see, this is exactly, matter of fact, this follows Scripture. It follows Daniel. And I've talked about this before out of Daniel. And there will be those that, and Daniel speaks of those who are wise in the times, and they lead resistance. And I've explained it. I'll have to do that again on one of these programs. But it is that way. They come in, and they're either appointed to come in, or there's something about the move of God that attracts them, and they go in. And they're not true brethren. They're tares. And, of course, the Bible does speak of tares. So you got to be so careful. And Christians, you know,
like to give the benefit of the doubt and trust.
Yes, it is. So it's really a sticky wicket. I mean, if you believe them and baptize them, you could be winding up in jail. But if you don't, you could be sinning by not carrying through. The Lord flatly told us, beware of men, for they shall deliver you up. He flat told us that the enemies will be those of your own household. He said that if they persecute you in this area, go to another area. There are things that the Lord said and told us to do that we need to be aware of. And, you know, if this was in America, and if I was the pastor of a small group, I would be very careful about these people.
Mm-hmm.
And there would have to be an ongoing proving. Now, see, Paul and you know, you can find this evidence of proof in the gospel. You can find it in Acts. Because Paul talked about brethren, and he talked about it in a lot of his gospels. Those who had proven their ministry, they had been with Paul through thick and thin, and they were brothers. When Paul sent them, they were brothers that would do what the will of the Lord was. And there's others that wouldn't care about taking care of business in that manner, and so Paul would send the Timothys. You know, and he would send others who were with him all the time, like Luke and others, and because they had a proven ministry. These were people who had suffered, who had been persecuted, who had faced tough times, and they remained faithful. And you know, there's that old story that when you talk about churches, and this is even in China, there was a story that came out, and I think we did this not too long ago, that a guy, this guy came into the church there, and they were all meeting, and he was brandishing a gun, going to kill everybody, and he said, okay, whoever doesn't believe in Jesus, get out. And they left. There was some that left, and he put the gun down. He says, okay, now I know the rest of you are true Christians.
Yeah.
But, and see, this is a problem historically. And so, you know, for all of you sitting in the mamby-pamby Christianized West, you haven't even begun to understand this. This, you know, this thing, when it wraps up and when we get the Dark One in, and judgment will first begin at the house of God, that if we who are saved barely survive, where will the sinners and the unbelievers stand? And that's what Paul says. Judgment will first, Paul says, begin. No, I think that's Peter. Begin in the house of God. And that's what you need to remember. And then God will hold the unbeliever accountable. So, you know, and these are testimonies right from the front line.
Yeah, they're amazing.
And of course, we also want to talk today about Pastor Brunson. And, you know, he reminds me of a lot of the other American pastors that you and I have
talked about, and others. We prayed for the ones that were stuck in North Korea. We prayed for the ones that were stuck in Iran, and they became political
pawns.
Political pawns, and that's exactly what they're trying to do with Pastor Brunson in Turkey. What Erdogan is trying to do, and but 100 European parliamentarians signed for the release of the pastor, and they're calling for them to do something in regard to holding Erdogan and Turkey accountable.
They should.
And they're urging 75 members of the European Council from 8 political groups in 20 countries signed an open letter, and this was some time ago. The ACLJ, the American Center for Law and Justice, had worked to get this before them. And, you know, according to Peter van Dalen, Dutch MEP and co-chair of the Intergroup of Freedom of Religion at the European Parliament, said it's a disgrace that this pastor is still unjustly held in jail, a disgrace that Erdogan suppresses and discriminates so much.
That's right.
And despite this, he would like to join the EU. No way. Well, see, he's already with NATO. And see, we need to kick his butt out of NATO. NATO needs to do something to hold this guy accountable.
That's true.
You know, and so he probably won't care because Erdogan has already openly warned the EU that, and he also told the Muslims in the EU that he was their protector and he would do whatever it takes to protect Muslims there. And, of course, we reported last week about a number of mosques and Turkish imams were kicked out of the country. The mosques were closed and the imams were kicked out because of their content and how they were, you know, calling on judgment and take over the country. And so we continue to see this battle between ancient Islam and the modern world. And it's just, and then you have Erdogan standing up, calling for 59 Muslim Arab nations to come against Israel. And then the other day he talked about, you know, there's going to be a battle between the cross and the crescent. There's already a battle there, but he's talking about a regular war. And the Muslims would love nothing better than to have another war like we did the Crusades, but they plan on conquering the world this time. But they don't understand that there's no way that Islam is going to conquer China.
That's right.
There's no way Islam is going to conquer North Korea. There's no way Islam is going to conquer Russia. And as far as America goes, we've got Muslims here. But see, the difference in this country, there are Christians here, and they know how to shoot back. And they will protect their country, and they will protect their families, and they will fight, and they will die.
That's right.
And, you know, the bottom line of it is, in America, if Muslims or anybody tries to take this country over, there's not going to be nothing of America left by the time you're done. There won't be nothing to inherit because this place, and we're already divided already, and they're very well, and I've written on this twice, the Civil War between Americans could happen again, the Second American Civil War. And I wrote about the Second American Civil War probably about 18 years ago or so, the first time I wrote about it, And I saw it coming back then, and there was nobody talking about the Second American Civil War, folks. I'm telling you something, that there is some major trouble coming to this country, and there will be major forces running across this land in this country, and there's going to be, you do not want this day to come ahead of time.
Well, that's for sure.
And the more we have this division in the news, and the more we have people like Fonda and others who are so virulent and hateful, among others, you're not doing America any good. And we have an American pastor over there that's really suffering. We have people that are facing death for blasphemy in Mauritania. We've got Eritrea who's changing their laws. We've got Pakistan who's still holding Asa Bibi. We have got Muslim nations, including Turkey, all over the place that are a hell of a lot worse than what this country is regarding to Christians. And many of you Christians are sitting in your easy-peasy churches. You have pastors who have watered down your doctrines. Your gospel is watered down. You have watered sin down to where anything goes. And the most you can do is buy books from some of the top pastors to live your best life now. Mammon, as filthy it is more important to you than what the truth and the gospel is. But judgment is coming. The same God that's God in Pakistan and the God in around the world, this is going to happen. And it's about time some of you get your head out of the proverbial dark corners of wherever you know it's stuck at and get it out of there and repent. The church in America needs to repent. And we've got a lot of evangelists running around. And I can tell you, for all the evangelists I see around in America, for all the churches we have, this country is more divided than ever. It is filthier than ever. And yet you sit in your churches and you say, we're fine and God is moving. Well, I'll tell you, the God of miracles is holding this country accountable, and he's going to hold the churches accountable, because you are rich and in need of nothing and do not know that you're wretched, poor, blind, and naked. And it's about time for you to wake up. But unfortunately, you will not wake up. This country will not wake up, because you are just like Judah when it refused to listen. Jeremiah had nobody left to preach to because nobody wanted to listen. And he even refused to preach for a while until God told him to repent. He had to speak anyway, although they wouldn't listen. They said, don't speak to us of this judgment anymore. Speak to us of smooth things. Don't speak to us of judgment, Jeremiah. And this is where America is today. Woe unto you, for the whore has come home to roost and the church is open. And the devil's behind the pulpit. God help you. And I call upon the church and the Christians and the pastors and all you so-called prophets and apostles to repent. Dear God in heaven, while we're turning around talking about Christians being persecuted around the world, you're sitting in your pews a-stinking. Dear God in heaven, help us.
Amen.
Now we got another one here. You remember Wycliffe?
Yes, I do.
I haven't heard of Wycliffe in a long time.
Well, I haven't either. I remember a couple at Trinity Bible Institute were going to go work for Wycliffe.
Yeah.
Or college, Trinity Bible College.
Now, you see, this next one, it comes from Cameroon. We don't hear much from Cameroon, and this comes out of globalchristiannews.org. And a Cameroon Bible translator, this is with Wycliffe, and was attacked and narrowly escaped. He said bullets were flying out of the car towards me, but by the power of God, I was able to escape all the bullets. None of the bullets hit me, and I escaped. I ran and hid far away in the bushes. And so the attackers eventually attacked his house. They burned it, and he ended up living in, and it says right now that they're living in the bush, exposed and vulnerable to diseases and wildlife. And the children are real young. And he says he doesn't know what I can do now. I am stranded and do not have anything. I have nothing left except the clothes on me. I had them on that morning. All my documents have been burnt except my ID card that was on me. I trust in the living God that I serve, else I should not be here talking now. On May the 23rd, another Bible translator was killed by soldiers in the Nagwo district of Cameroon. And the Wycliffe works with the people there in Cameroon, and they've been doing it for about 25 years. And they said the conflict that's going on in Cameroon now goes back to the post-colonial season of their history. And of course, the French-speaking portion of the country and an English-speaking portion of the country that eventually unified to create a federation. And that became Cameroon. And so you wound up, the English-speaking declared its independence from the Cameroon government. And this war now between the English portion of Cameroon and the French now has displaced 160,000 people, 21,000 going into Nigeria. We've reported on Nigeria. It's no place to be. It's dangerous in Nigeria because of Boko Haram and also the Fulani herdsmen and a lot of the death that's been going on there. So it's a mess, isn't it? There's a lot of things going on. But see, God's in charge. I can't hear you, Tower.
I said it's horrible all around the world.
It is, but we see God moving. And we are heading into a time when, you know, this is going to be some of the worst stuff that's ever happened at any time to any generation, folks. And so our ministry is to prepare you and to help you be prepared for it.
Amen, that's right.
And there are ministries in this country that are on fire. And there's a lot of ministries that work in foreign countries as well as America. And they work to help the persecuted church. They'll also help Muslims, just about anybody that needs help. And so we admonish you to find those who are working to help and to bring the gospel to people and show the love of Christ. And of course, that's that about takes up our hour. But in closing, you got any words you want to say, thing you got to say, Tower?
Just be sure to join us tomorrow night for Remnant Battle Lines Thursday.
Well, we're going to have to get out of here,
okay.
Folks. We thank you for joining us.
Yes.
And pray for the persecuted church and support ministries that are working to help those churches. Now, the WIBR Warren Radio is an end time preaching, teaching, warning agency. We are an advocacy agency for the persecuted church. And instead of spending an hour speaking to you with the divisive issues of political and nonsense, we bring you the news of the persecuted church and the miracles of God. So seek the Lord, look up to Him. If you're not right with God, it's very simple, repent. Folks, we have all been there in this country in the West. We've all gotten to the point where we haven't been as sharp in our faith as we should have. So if all you can do is get mad and angry at me, you really have a problem. You need to understand that I speak these things out of love for you and out of concern for America and for the church. That's you. Until next time, this is The Watchman.
Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us.
My heart is for you, and so is the Lord.
Amen.
We thank you for joining us today on Warn Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is The Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.